Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you two, not in a creepy way.
Hey. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about Captain America : The Winter Soldier, 2014, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. Produced by Kevin Feige.
Don't say colon. That's bad. That puts bad images in my head. Captain America's colon. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird use of a colon, but that's okay. Anyway.
Well, I think it was a comparison.
I guess. So, Brother Jay, you had not seen this before?
That is correct.
And Drew, this is all your shtick anyway. I had seen this one before. But I guess I just didn't, you know, putting it in context now, I actually kind of got excited for the mid-end credits scene, because now they're talking about stuff I have not seen before, because I think this may have been the most recent Marvel movie I've seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was the first movie I thought that was actually like really, really good. Like lots of the other movies were fun, but I thought this movie was fantastic.
We'll start off as usual with Brother Jay. What do you think, Brother Jay?
Well,
are you reprising your role as the harshest of the Marvel critics?
Probably, but not. This was a fine movie. It was fine. It was a fine movie. It entertained me and I enjoyed it. It's not spectacular. It had me for the first like 80% of the movie. It had me for about the first 80% of the movie, and then towards the last 20%, especially with the whole super Nazi ending credits thing, and I'm like, no. So I have some issues, not the least of which is I initially thought the first villain that they put up on the screen was Joe Rogan. So,
well, not far off, really.
That's George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
One of the most acclaimed mixed martial artists of all time. Hall of Famer. Yeah.
I got nothing. I don't know who he is.
Not an actor.
No.
Nope. Shocking.
Well, I've got thoughts about that, too. Although, again, I thought this was fun. I had to cobble together the synopsis from a 11-point font, 12-page synopsis from IMDb. And I used some of that. You'll know when it happens. And I sort of cobbled that together with the, like, 2.5-page Wikipedia synopsis. So there's going to be some yada-yadding over some of the big set pieces. So, Drew, you'll have to jump in.
Good luck trying that.
Well, that's the problem, is that to do that, you'll see. Because I start off, as you'll see, the first paragraph is the long version of the opening of this movie, but it's good. It's a good opening. First reaction. I like Sam the Falcon. He's good. Yeah. They were respectful with his character.
Much more respectful than the comic books.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he's been in the comic books for a long time. So yes. I appreciate that. I guess all these guys have been in the comic books for a long time, but still.
I'm pretty sure his origin in the comic books was a former pimp.
Sure. Very, very 60s, early 70s sort of thing. Yeah. Yes. Not respectful of certainly. Anyway. But yeah. No, I think he was his character was very well handled here. And I liked him. Unlike, say, I don't know, Wonder Woman 84. Okay. So this film takes place 2 years after the events of The Avengers, and retired soldier Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie, who we know from Seaberg, The Adjustment Bureau, 2004's Manchurian Candidate, and 8 Mile, he's jogging around the tidal basin in Washington, D.C.
Striking Vipers.
Oh, he was in Striking Vipers?
That's yes,
awesome, of Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. I'm going to go back and watch that one. It turns out I've been watching a couple different anthologies, and I know this is a tangent early in our little show today, but anthology series are very, very hit and miss, and I'm more impressed by Black Mirror every time I watched a different one. Like, I've been watching the two-sentence horror stories, anthologies, and they're about 20 minutes, I think, a piece. And there's 2 seasons of them, and they're on Netflix, and they're worth watching, but they're pretty hit and miss. But, like, Black Mirror nailed almost all of them, which I thought was pretty great. Anyway, but that's good, because they're also, like, an hour a piece, I think, where the two-sentence horror stories is only maybe 20 minutes a piece. Anyway, so, as Sam Wilson is jogging around the tidal basin in D.C., he gets passed, lapped, several times by Steve Rogers, Captain America, by Rickers Evans. So it gets to be sort of a joke, and Sam is finally tired and sits down to rest. And then Steve comes up, and they introduce themselves to each other. And of course, Sam knows that Steve is Captain America. So they chit chat, and Sam recommends Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man soundtrack to get up to speed on the last few decades. And so Steve Rogers whips out his list. And what else was on that list? I know.
Nirvana.
Star Wars / Trek. I think Rocky.
Mm-hmm. The fun bit of trivia, that list was different for pretty much every country that showed this movie.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you can research it and find all the differences online.
I'm going to add that to my list of quests. Anyway, so during their talk, Steve gets a text telling him to stand by the curb in front of the Capitol. And then a car pulls up driven by Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson. And with
Jason's already shaking his head.
You don't like Natasha Romanoff?
I like her fine. The Corvette was ridiculous.
Well,
of all the cars she's going to drive, that would not have been what I would have picked.
You wouldn't pick her an American-made car?
No.
I think this is the best Black Widow movie.
That's what you had said. And she does really well. I don't know. I'm hoping that the actual Black Widow movie gives her a little more to chew on.
I thought she had a lot to chew on in this movie. She had, she had great chemistry with Captain America.
Oh, yeah. And you know why? Because none of that stick-in-the-mud, big ol' anchor-dragging-down Jeremy Renner. This is a movie that benefited from the lack of Jeremy Renner.
You don't like Jeremy Renner?
Not particularly. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy.
I don't have any reason to dislike him, but just something inherently, like, I don't know.
I stand by the Bourne legacy.
Yeah, well, okay. It's fine. Let me tell you, it turns out all the Bourne series, to me, are entirely forgettable. Like, I remember enjoying most of them, and I don't remember anything about any of them. I think there was an opportunity to talk about Julia Stiles at some point.
You know what's not forgettable, though?
What's that?
Jeremy Renner fighting wolves and then having smoldering sexual chemistry with Oscar Isaac.
Well, okay, there's that. Actually, there's some, by the way, there's a callback to Fighting Wolves here, but we're going to get to it momentarily. So Natasha and Steve go on and get suited up and go together on this counterterrorism strike team led by Agent Rumlow, played by Frank Grillo from The Gray, Warrior, Boss Level, and Zero Dark Thirty. Anyway, their strike team is supposed to free hostages aboard a SHIELD vessel. And one of the hostages is Agent Jasper Sitwell, Maximiliano Hernandez, who we know from Sicario and Warrior.
And the Americans.
And the Americans, yes.
Ah, that's where I recognize him from.
So this SHIELD vessel has been invaded by pirates, led by Georges Batroc, played by Georges Saint-Pierre. Saint-Pierre?
Close enough.
Yeah. I don't know. He sells powdered beverages and DVDs, I think.
By the way, this is in powder. This movie update is a home run compared to the ridiculous comic book character it's based on. It's based on the comic book villain Batroc the Leaper.
Oh, no.
Not Leper, Leaper?
Leaper, because his power was jumping around and kicking things real hard.
Oh.
So he's a House of Pain disciple.
Yeah. So this was, and he wears this purple suit and has like the really stereotypical French villain, like handlebar mustache. It's terrible.
Oh,
wow.
I'm just waiting to see, because apparently there's going to be a Moon Knight movie.
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
A TV show, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I have a soft spot for Moon Knight, but Frenchie, the character of Frenchie is a little one note, let's say.
Going to be played by Oscar Isaac.
Ah, well, we'll see. Oscar Isaac plays Frenchie?
Moon Knight.
Oh, okay. I forget his name too, but it's probably Steve.
Well, Mark Steve's. Spector.
Mark Spector. Very nice. Okay. I bow to your knowledge.
It's close enough for our purposes.
Anyway, so again, this is where we yada yada the big goal fight scene on the ship, which is pretty cool.
No, we won't. No, we won't. Okay. I love this fight scene. I love how they have updated Captain America's fighting style. He's way more proficient with his shield. It's starting to do the Captain America bending the laws of physics thing with his shield. And he's incorporated a lot more like stealth MO when he boards the ship. A lot more MMA style, like punches and kicks and stuff. He throws a knife through somebody's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about this action was amazing.
Well, okay, but it did one trope that I smiled when it started. As soon as Batroc the Leaper says, what are you, just your shield? And then he throws his shield down and just decides he's going to bare-knuckle brawl. Like, are you kidding? But he's not kidding.
I mean, he actually put a shield on his back, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you will accept no criticism, I see. Captain America.
I think I've seen this movie in the double digits.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but this is a well-worn trope of, okay, we'll throw down all our weapons and just fight like men.
Do you remember when 3D home viewing was a thing? I have the 3D Blu-ray of this and have watched it in 3D.
And is it worth watching in 3D?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it is a fine 3D experience, but it doesn't add anything. I mean, the shield coming through the window is pretty cool, but that was it. Ah.
Well, it's the only thing that would make it better is if at some point Natasha, when she was chewing gum, also had one of those ball paddle things that she paddled toward the camera. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So, yada yada, fight, fight, fight. Steve and Natasha have a little conflict. because Steve is down there to rescue hostages, but Natasha is down there to download data.
Yes, that was a nice little moment when he tells her she's not following the mission, and she brutally informs him she's not following his mission. She has her own mission, which does not sit well with him.
No, because he's the mission leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which he's pissed at her, and then ultimately he's pissed at Nick Fury.
Yeah, and watching all these movies in pretty close succession, I appreciate the through lines more now. The not obvious ones, like in Avengers, Captain America was pissed at Fury when he found out what Fury was actually doing with the Tesseract and creating weapons, and accused him of just being Hydra 2.0.
Ah.
And Fury was trying to justify his actions, but you can tell in this movie, like, he's still not cool with Fury.
No.
Even though he's working for him, he's not okay with him, and he's not afraid to tell him.
Yeah. And spoiler, Hydra 2.0 seems like a more and more realistic idea as the movie goes along. Who knew?
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, it's funny. If you had taken a soldier from World War II and put him in suspended animation and reincarnated him, I don't know, 2020, you'd be like, what? There's still Nazis around? What the fuck? Like, we had it solved. Like, what did you do?
You elected one president?
Yes. It's crazy. Oh, well.
Just tells you how invasive Hydra is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess.
Life imitates art.
I wonder, are there the Japanese equivalents? Do they have, like the Japanese monarchy in exile or whatever plotting? Are there neo-Japanese... I don't even know what you call.
Is this going to turn into a Casablanca?
It might, because I know nothing about any of this history, but... Anyway.
Neo-Axis Powers Japan?
Yeah.
No idea.
Okay.
But let's speculate, shall we?
Well, it's like the world seems to have solved that problem. I'm just saying. But you never know what's going to crop up in 2024. Or 2022, whatever.
I was going to say 2022 is my bigger concern.
Yeah. Okay. So, they return to the, and you know, I've probably been saying this wrong my entire life, but the Triskelion. Okay.
Yeah. And there's three of them.
The Triskelion, you know what the Triskelion symbol is, right?
No.
It's three legs all joined together. I think it's maybe the Isle of Man symbol also.
Oh.
Anyway,
Yeah. So that's my full knowledge. Flag without a leg.
Well, and with actual like legs, literally yeah. Three legs. Yeah, they may actually have shoes on them.
Well,
anyway, I don't know. So,
gotcha.
The Triskelion, the Shield's headquarters. Rogers confronts Director Nick Fury, Sam Jackson, and is briefed about Project Insight. This is where we bring back the helicarriers.
Yeah, and this is Nick Fury's attempt to show Steve Rogers that he's not a bad dude and that they're on the same side.
Yes.
That's a real misfire.
Well, they apparently didn't see the Batman movies where that Batman had to destroy all that stuff because it was too powerful. Except when Batman needed it. Right. Luckily, they didn't do it this time about that.
Yeah. Details.
So, the three helicarriers, the Project Insight is, the idea is they have these three helicarriers that are, have access to all these satellites. So they have, they can acquire many, many targets. And not only can they acquire many, many targets, but, and we're talking like millions of targets, but they're going to, neutralize those targets, prior to the targets actually committing crimes.
Yes. Yeah. Preemptive targeting based on DNA, among other things.
Yeah. which, I don't know, seems un-American. At least, you know, this 2014 this America.
So this is where I got confused. So Nick Fury is advocating for this.
Apparently. Yes. Yeah. He thinks it's fine. What could go wrong?
Okay.
Apparently Nick Fury is not a 100% good guy. I mean,
I would submit that he's not a good guy at all.
Well, we'll find out. Well, won't we? Around Endgame.
Nick Fury is very Machiavellian.
Yes. So Nick has the thumb drive, whatever, full of data, and tries to decrypt it, and he can't decrypt it. It has been
super encrypted.
Super encrypted on his own orders.
Which he seemingly doesn't remember.
Yeah. So then he goes to talk to his boss, who is the senior SHIELD official and Secretary of Internal Security, Alexander Pierce, played by Robert Redford.
Who I instantly knew was the villain.
Of course. Well, yeah.
He's so good.
He is. He's very good.
Oh, he is. He's Robert Redford. Turns out he does just fine. Yeah. So he wants the project delayed because there's something wrong with it. So in the meantime, this is we're switching into slower gear again. Steve visits the Smithsonian Museum to check out an exhibit. He's disguised, he wants to check out an exhibit dedicated to Captain America.
By the way, when you saw Pierce talking with the World Security Council,
yes,
did you recognize the lady with the short hair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I recognized her for the first time we saw her. Jenny Agutter.
Yeah.
From American Werewolf in London and Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Two movies, one of which holds up really, really well and the other that does not.
The other is Logan's Run.
Yes. Logan's Run does not hold up well at all. Yeah. I was excited that she had a big old action scene at the end of this movie, too. She had to work out for months to do those stunts. So Steve ends up visiting the Smithsonian, again, to an exhibit dedicated to Captain America, which obviously Steve has some issues as well. I'm trying to think of who else would undercover visit their own memorial thing.
Well, it wasn't just his memorial, though. It was all of his
That's true.
His friends and his troop, the Howling Commandos. And Bucky.
Yeah. And they made a big point of saying only Bucky died for his country, which seemed like a slam on the other guys. It's like the guy that grew the big old great mustache, he deserved more credit than just being one of the guys who didn't die for his country.
And Steve really tried to die. I mean,
yeah.
You should give him more credit.
Sure. Yeah. It turns out also stolen valor later on. But okay. So anyway, a child recognizes Steve, but Steve is like, huh? It's like, don't tell anybody. Also, would you like some candy? I've got the Captain America van outside. Can you help me find my puppy?
Yeah, not a good look for Captain America to threaten children.
Exactly. So this whole scene is to reacquaint us with Bucky. By the way, Bucky Barnes is played by Sebastian Stan, who we will know from the upcoming miniseries Pam and Tommy. He plays Tommy. Lee.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah. And we also get to see, of course, the uniforms. And anyway, Steve also checks out a video of his old love, Peggy Carter, played by Haley Atwell from the upcoming Mission Impossible 7 and 8. This is a spoiler, apparently, because normally you don't get credited with two Mission Impossible movies in a row, but we'll see.
Right.
Maybe there's some sort of Julia Stiles thing going on. We'll have to figure out later. And later, he visits the elderly Peggy, who has been married and children, and she's really ill. And she sort of recognizes him, but obviously she's got some sort of dementia or whatever. So it's a very touching scene that puts a little bit of a screech in the brakes of the action of the movie. But, you know, sometimes you need a breather. The pace of this movie was actually fine. Even though it was, again, well over 2 hours long, it wasn't too long for me.
I thought her old age makeup looked great, by the way.
Yeah,
it did. Pretty good. Yeah. This movie was fast, slow, fast, 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 slow, fast, slow. It was jarring.
In the meantime, Fury is on his way to rendezvous with Agent Maria Hill, Kobe Smulders.
Well, he tells her to get there as quick as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, she says she'll be there in 4 hours. She says you have three. Because he's that kind of boss. And then he gets ambushed in, again, a really good action scene. I'm going to yada yada right through. But this Capitol Police and, DC Police. And
yes.
And the Winter Soldier we meet, sort of.
After a long chase scene, once he finally gets free of his ambush.
Yes.
He finally runs into Winter Soldier. And actually, the whole thing with his car was pretty funny.
Sure.
Nothing was operational except air conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah. Except for the fact that if you have a vehicle that's that advanced, why wouldn't it tactically analyze incoming vehicles that were in pursuit and, I don't know, avoid?
They spent that money on air conditioning. Gets hot right. In DC.
I guess it's true when you turn the AC on, nothing else has power.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, you sacrifice stuff.
And this is a scene that really shows you like just how much Sam Jackson is inhabiting Nick Fury, because he was really great.
Oh, yeah.
He was commanding. He was funny. It was fantastic.
Yep, and he'd seen some shit.
Yes, he was calm, calm under duress.
Yes, and he is ambushed, and we finally see a brief glimpse of yes, the assassin called the Winter Soldier. By the way, love the Winter Soldier's hair. I was like, Sebastian Stan, the guy could have been played by Sebastian Bach.
I love his old vibe. I love like the horror movie music that he has. It's great.
It's got a Russian arm.
Yes. Yeah. So they didn't really touch on this, but in the comic books, it was he was much more of an obvious character. He was certainly the Soviet answer to Captain America long before it was ever revealed who he actually was.
But he was always who he turned out to be in this movie?
I believe so.
Okay. And by the way, he was wearing the best COVID mask before COVID times. Trendsetter.
Yeah.
Well, really works out. Earlier we saw the council was all virtual, which is very COVID safe.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. And actually even the key had the COVID hair because it was all long, which is completely... completely different than any other character except Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, meantime, of course, Steve goes back to his apartment to find his pretty neighbor Sharon Carter, played by Emily Van Camp, going to do laundry. And Natasha's been teasing Steve to ask ladies out.
She's just Sharon.
She's just Sharon? Okay.
Yeah, they never...
It says Sharon Carter. In the notes, that's all I'm saying.
Because that would be another card.
Turns out her real name is Kate anyway, right?
No, her real name is Sharon Carter.
Okay. Is she Agent 13?
Great niece. Yeah.
Okay.
She's Agent 13.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So she is related to Peggy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Actually, see, I didn't even know that.
But I got that from Carter, see.
Ah, well, yeah. Okay, now I know. So are they related to Jimmy? We don't know.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So, he's going to ask out Sharon, who's doing laundry, and she turns him down. And then she says, yeah, you left your stereo on. So he's like, yeah. So he realizes, oh, I don't leave my stereo on. I'm Captain America. So he sneaks in the window of his own place to find Fury. Well,
for him, he would have left his Victrola on.
Well, exactly, yes. But to be fair, it was playing sort of his timey music. But he sneaks in there and sees Fury all busted up.
His wife kicked him out.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they have the subterfuge because there's ears everywhere. So Fury gives Steve the thumb drive, and then they get all attacked. And again, good action scenes, fun.
Yeah. Captain America has no regard for other people's property. Just wanton path of destruction.
Well, there is that part of it. Also, he's going to lose his deposit on that apartment.
You think?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's paying for it.
No, probably not. Yeah, it turns out maybe that whole floor is occupied by S.H.I.E.L.D. people.
I loved him running through the hallway and just smashing through doors and walls and
yes.
putting a hole in the sheetrock.
Another thing I really appreciate about this movie is they really gave him like really good physicality. I mean, like when he's running into walls and denting them and stuff.
Yeah, well, and he's also
I appreciated those details.
Again, I don't know about the vibranium or whatever. I guess we get to hear more about that during Black Panther, probably. But you know, the whole property of that shield makes much more sense. It seems like this movie demonstrates it a lot better. Mm-hmm. Like he can do shit because the shield doesn't vibrate.
It absorbs all impact.
Yeah, it is. Yes, exactly. Yep. So he could jump out of a plane. Although he doesn't need the shield to dive into the water, he's just super strong there, right?
Yes.
It's yeah.
More like jumping out of an elevator.
Well, either way.
Through glass and brick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause that's definitely harder than water when you're at terminal velocity.
I don't know. It's teams anyway. It seems like he could have used a parachute. Like I don't know why he's gotta go and you know. Just because you can withstand something doesn't mean that you must withstand something.
Machismo.
I guess. I mean.
He was in stealth mode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Except that he lands in the water like a missile. Who didn't know that guy slammed into the water again? Yeah. Anyway. So since S.H.I.E.L.D. is compromised, blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's the first confrontation between Steve Rogers and the Winter Soldier on the rooftop.
Yes.
Across the way. Just good setup.
Oh, yeah. The way they handled the Winter Soldier was actually pretty good. Till the very end. Not the very end, but till we really get to meet him. Then I'm like, I got questions there, but oh well. So, Nick Fury's dead. And the next day, Pierce summons Rogers to the Triskelion. And Rogers withholds Fury's information. So Pierce brands him a fugitive.
Well, Fury gives him the USB drive.
Yeah. And tells him to trust no one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he hides it in the hospital.
Yeah. You're skipping over what I thought was some good work by Scarlett Johansson when Fury died. She was she took it very personally.
Except I didn't believe he was dead.
No?
At all. Nope.
I thought he was dead the first time I watched this movie.
Nope.
Yeah, spoiler. I thought Bucky was dead when I watched the first movie the first time.
Okay, I did too, actually. So. But yeah, I thought she showed that she was genuinely upset, because you can tell she does not have very many people that she relies on.
And he was one of them. I wrote down Nick Fury dead, not dead, and I underlined not dead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, you're right. Absolutely. Also, like, I like the fact that Steve trusts no one in S.H.I.E.L.D., including Natasha, who shouldn't be trusted anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like all double agents. Yeah. Don't put a lot of trust in them. Be happy they're there if they're helping.
And yet Captain America breaks the rule.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he breaks a bunch of rules. He's not perfect. He's not.
Should be a team. He makes that big team speech. We should be sharing information. There are no secrets.
Well, okay. He wants to be the leader of that team.
You're talking about sneakers?
Yeah. No, I was. See, I was going to make the Robert Redford tie in.
Well, you know. This movie needed 100% more Dan Aykroyd.
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. Well,
except he was yeah.
He's in jail.
Yeah. Oh, I want that character back. So, Steve, of course, hides the flash drive in the vending machine, and then he goes back to retrieve it, and it's gone. But Natasha's there chewing gum.
Whoa! Hold on. He hides it in the vending machine, and then he goes and talks to Pierce.
Yes.
And then he takes an elevator ride down.
Yes, I'm sorry. He takes an elevator ride down, which was a masterful piece of choreographed fighting. It really was. Yeah, and it's set up by the great little line, you know. So before this gets started, does anybody want to get off?
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even though he is a walking anachronism, he's no dummy. I mean, he's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Well, they go to great pains to show his ability to zoom in on people's traits and what's going on physiologically with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, just that he notices, like, the guy has his hand on his gun for no reason.
Yeah.
He notices the rivulets of sweat coming down the guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but was there one or two more examples than you needed of that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because they were leaning a little heavy on it. And
it was
right.
A whole bunch of pair of scissors.
Yeah, again, going back and forth in these little plot synopsis, you're right. I left out the fact that that Pierce labels him a bad guy is because of this fight in the elevator where he ends up giving a whooping to these SHIELD agents who are going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. The strike team, among others.
Yes.
Yeah. Then he to avoid further conflict, he actually jumps out of the elevator from like two stories, right?
Yep. Going through a big old glass ceiling. Lands in the lobby.
And then defeats a helijet with just his shield.
Yes. Which is, again, this is a Captain America right from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very fun to see him on a motorcycle.
Yeah. It's again, I just have flashbacks of the late 70s Captain America on the motorcycle. It's really sad for me, those kind of memories.
Is that like a dirt bike? Like, I get Evel Knievel vibes.
Yes. It wasn't great. And wears a little half helmet. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah. Again, great elevator fight scene. Worthy of, like, The Raid or The Raid 2. So, he ends up going back to the hospital to grab the flash drive, but it's gone. But Natasha's there chewing gum and using her little paddle with the ball on it. And they have this conversation about a bunch of stuff, but also wants to know what she knows about this mysterious assassin. And then she reveals that he is known through intelligence agencies only by the nickname of the Winter Soldier. And he nearly killed her on a mission in Iraq, during which the target she was designed to protect was killed. And he's just been responsible for over 200 assassinations over the past 50 years.
I love this interaction between the two of them. I think it's really well written and performed, especially by Scarlett Johansson, really well. Or she's trying to be coy, but also trying to gain his trust without revealing more than she has to. But eventually she has to pretty much tell him everything she knows. And again, they have good chemistry as they're kind of bantering back and forth about her how she'd look in a bikini, right?
Yeah. Jason's shaking his head.
No, actually, I rolled my eyes.
Okay, sorry. So then they decide to use the flash drive to find out what they can about the Winter Soldier's whereabouts. So, using some data, they go to an Apple store and see actor and comedian DC Pearson. Maybe he's just an actor. I don't know. It was fun to see him, especially back in that day. He was a lot more popular on commercials.
Yes.
Again.
And Black Widow and Captain America are in the best disguises ever.
Of course.
Hoodies and baseball hats.
Yeah. It's terrorist garb number two.
Yeah. He complains that if he tried to run in those shoes, they'd fly off.
Yes.
But he wears those shoes for pretty much the rest of the movie until the final raid.
Oh, didn't recognize that, but that's funny. Yeah, so then they have, of course, the chase through the mall, and then they end up at a secret government bunker in New Jersey, where Steve got his original training back when, and they end up activating a supercomputer 1950s supercomputer, whatever, maybe 60s.
70s.
70s, okay. Containing the preserved consciousness of Armin Zola, played by Toby Jones, who is again, he's a great sort of Peter Lorre Nazi.
He's so funny.
Yeah. Hamming it up, but
he's,
in a great way.
He's Swiss, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So Zola reveals that ever since S.H.I.E.L.D. was founded after World War II, Hydra has infiltrated and secretly operated within its ranks, sowing global chaos with the objective of making humanity surrender its freedom in exchange for security.
Yeah, and he has the kind of accent that's like right out of like a Dashiell Hammett story.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, ah, Captain, I have been stalling.
Oh, it's the same sort of accent that I associate with, like Peter Lorre and when he's doing his...
Give them Cairo.
Well, by Gazer.
And suppose we give them you and Mr. Shaughnessy. How about that, huh?
You want the Falcon, I've got it. The Fall Guy's part of the price, I'm asking. As for Mr. Shaughnessy, if you think she can be rigged for the part, I'm perfectly willing to discuss it with you.
You seem to forget that you are not in a position at all to insist upon anything.
No.
His evil characters, and also of... was it Baron Zemo from the Power Records LP of Captain America and the Falcon?
No pain, not yet anyhow. But if that big bang had come one inch nearer, what was it anyhow? Some kind of ray?
Sure looks like it. We're both lucky it didn't.
Luck had nothing to do with it, fool. Cap, look, up there.
I see, pal. I see.
Do you? Do you really? Then know that your treacherous eyes gaze upon the face and form of the Phoenix. Know, too, that you'll not escape my vengeance.
Vengeance? Is that dress to kill dude an old sparring partner of yours, Cap?
Negative, chum. I thought he was one of yours.
Such wit in the face of adversity is admirable but futile. Feel the fury of the Phoenix now!
I'll keep an occupied, Falcon. You get moving on the double.
And with a little dash of Brother Jade's Wolfgang.
A little bit, yes.
Oh, Heidi.
So, yeah. Basically, it's a little bit of Anti-Patriot Act.
A little?
Yeah. And remember those days? Those quaint days. Anyway. So, they're sitting around chit-chatting with Zola, and he's like, yes, I'm not going to try to do an accent, but he was solid.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has been infiltrated by Hydra agents for the past 50 years.
Yes.
They're in positions of power everywhere. This is sort of glossed over in the moment, but it's very concerning.
It is. Yeah. No, by the time Gary Shandling is whispering Hail Hydra to people, you're a little worried about that.
Gary Shandling is so funny in this movie. He doesn't have much to do, but he's like, really? Because she's killing my back.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so funny. Okay, so Rogers and Romanoff enlist the help of Sam, who goes and acquires his Falcon wing pack.
Wait, hold on. You glossed over something very important here.
Okay.
So you mentioned before that you liked Sam in this movie, and I did too. When I found out that the Falcon, like when he was introduced as Sam Wilson, I was a little worried in the beginning of this movie because the Falcon, fun character in the comic books, but it's really goofy concept. So I was worried, like, how are they going to do the Falcon? It's pretty dumb on paper.
Oh yeah.
But again, I ended up liking him too, and I enjoyed what they did with him. But
I think he was the best part of this movie.
Yeah, he was good. He has some really good outtakes too, if you look those up. When they meet him in his apartment and he's in his kitchen, he is very obviously a serial killer. Am I the only one that notices? He has human body parts in his refrigerator. It is the only explanation for how much of a monster he is for keeping his condiments on top of his fridge.
Oh,
like mustard and barbecue sauce and Worcestershire sauce up there. Not only is he not keeping things that say refrigerate upon opening, he's not. Not only are they not in the refrigerator, he's putting them on top, which actually like is incubating them, keeping them warmer than room. Yeah, he is a monster.
I did not notice that.
I noticed it, but I didn't.
That's funny stuff.
Very alarming.
I didn't ascribe the gravity to it to which you did, but I thought there's a bottle of A1 on top of his fridge. That's weird.
Yeah. The only explanation is that he is this universe's Jeffrey Dahmer.
I was just gonna say,
he's brewing his own super soldier serum where he makes himself invulnerable by poisoning. It's the iocane powder.
Nice. That's a nice callback.
Touché. Well, more good stuff here between Steve and Natasha. They have some good moments here. He's finally developing trust in her.
Yeah.
And she is really feeling unmoored because her whole identity as a good guy was wrapped up in doing the work of S.H.I.E.L.D. And now she's grappling with the fact that she may have unwittingly been doing the work of Hydra.
Yes.
So she plays that well.
Well, and so this means that in her, again, we don't know a ton about her backstory from the movies, but she's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. because she became a good guy at some point. She's atoning for her sins.
Yes. I mean, she was such a bad guy that the Hawkeye was at one point sent to assassinate her.
Yes. So, and he's not even good at that. So, they end up,
I mean, he's better than Sean Bean and Wolfwalkers.
Okay. He has a little harsh criticism for that cartoon. It's funny, though.
Have you watched the movie?
I have not, no.
No, you would. That would be funny if you, yeah.
So,
that's really a joke for two.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm sure. I will watch it eventually. They end up capturing S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Jasper Sitwell, Maximilian.
Well, they literally yada-yada'd a heist movie to go get Sam's wings.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's like a whole movie that they could do right there. And they're just like, yeah, we got it.
Well, still. I mean, yeah, you're right. But thankfully, they didn't have the four-hour version of this movie. Because, again, at a bit over 2 hours, this was fine.
I disagree.
Well, they need to have this Marvel one shot.
Give me the Russo brothers cut.
Okay. Oh, God. So are you going to watch the Zack Snyder Superman? Or Justice League, I guess it is?
I don't know. Probably, because there's not much else new, but I don't feel good about it.
So I haven't seen either version. Should I watch the Zack Snyder version without seeing the other one? Do I care about the Justice League? Because I'm thinking no.
You don't care. Okay. No, you don't care.
All right.
You don't care.
So, anyway.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about, so.
They just released, as a brand new movie, kind of, the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League that Zack Snyder was, what, like, fired from halfway through or something?
He stepped down. He had some personal tragedy. Oh. His daughter committed suicide while they were making the movie. So he took some time off, and DC brought in Joss Whedon to finish it. And it was maliciously panned by critics. And I think it still made a bunch of money, but was considered not very successful. I think they were shooting for the billion-dollar Avengers type thing, and it wasn't anywhere near that. But it was just savaged by critics because it's completely incoherent. And so a bunch of fanboys started calling for them to release the Zack Snyder version of it. So they called it the Snyder Cut, which there is some rumors that Zack Snyder had produced like a 3-hour rough director's cut before he stepped down, and that Joss Whedon came in and really, really changed it. And those rumors persisted for years until HBO Max came along and said, yeah, let's do it. Let's release the Snyder cut, which never really existed because they had to do something like $60 to $80 million worth of either reshoots or completely new footage.
Ah, okay. So it's not quite the cabal cut or whatever of Nightbreed.
No.
So it's been Duned.
It's also kind of a moral victory for horrible people online, which is too bad.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Joss Whedon's star has been tarnished a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. So, oh, well. Anyway, okay, so back to the happy-go-lucky fighting Nazis of this movie. They capture... Do we have anything before they capture?
Well, maybe hand-in-hand if you listen to Ray Fisher.
Okay, who's Ray Fisher?
He played Cyborg in Justice League.
Ah, okay.
And some of his comments that he would not back down from resulted in a pretty large investigation of Joss Whedon and other folks in Warner Brothers.
Ah. So they capture Jasper Sitwell, who's a Hydra mole, and force him to divulge that Zola developed a data mining algorithm that could identify individuals becoming threats to Hydra. So the Insight helicarriers will sweep the globe using satellite-guided guns to eliminate these individuals. And the list is long and includes a ton of people whose names we know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not even names, descriptions of characters that comic book readers would likely recognize.
Yeah. Also, things like the president. You know, mm-hmm. It's a lot of people.
Just little details.
Yeah. And then Sitwell is killed in an ambush by the Winter Soldier.
Really brutal,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. No, they take care of him pretty easily.
Rips him out of the car and throws him into oncoming traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where Steve recognizes the Winter Soldier as Bucky.
Well, a long, long way into this huge action scene.
Yeah, it is a huge action scene. Yes.
And everybody gets to do some shit here. Natasha, Sam, Steve, Bucky.
Yep. And Agent Hill shows up.
Because they're captured. I mean, yeah. The Winter Soldier gets away after he's revealed to be Bucky. And the police and the SHIELD strike team show up and take the three of them into custody.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Steve knows that Bucky's Bucky, but Bucky doesn't know that Bucky's Bucky.
Yes.
Very complicated.
But I cannot stress enough how fun this action scene was.
It was good.
Just so much stuff going on.
Yeah. Yep. It was fine. Yeah.
It was not fine. It was amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, again, it's an action scene, so it's hard to talk about.
Maybe so, but you can still praise it.
Yes, I will give it the praise it is due. It was a great action scene.
Now all I hear is Fatboy Slim.
Hill manages to extract the trio to a safe. Again, this is where the yada yada comes in, because I'm sure this is a 14-page treatise on this action scene if you look at the IMDb plot synopsis. So I will, if you don't want to watch the movie and see it, I will guide listeners to read that version, which goes in great detail. But anyway... Hill manages to extract the trio to a safe house where Fury, who faked his own death, is waiting with plans to sabotage the helicarriers by replacing their controller chips. This is the MacGuffin. And so then the World Security Council members arrive for the helicarrier's launch. They arrive in person. And Rogers is broadcasting Hydra's plot to everyone at the Triskelion. And Pierce tries to convince that the World Security Council members to join him in support of Project Insight, making it sound like a peaceful effort to subdue potential attacks around the world. And he hands Councilman Singh a glass of champagne. But Sing refuses to join him and tosses the glass. So Pierce pulls out a gun and aims it at Sing. But Councilwoman Holly, Jenny Agutter, who again, American Werewolf in London, Logan's Run, Child's Play 2, does a fantastic action scene. And then tells she Scooby-Doo unmasks herself to tell she's really Natasha all along. And Fury arrives to forces Pierce to unlock the database, blah, blah, blah. And so Natasha is going to be leaking this information online for the world for everybody to see. Now, I yada yada the whole part of infiltrating the Triskelion in the first place, where they need each of the three need to take a helicarrier and replace that chip. But they also have to realize that some of the people in S.H.I.E.L.D. are just regular people, but a lot of people in S.H.I.E.L.D. are maybe Hydra moles. So everybody starts like looking at each other and thinking, you know, what is this all about? What's going on? What's happening? Including Agent 13.
Yeah, really, this is Frank Grillo's time to shine right here.
Yes. Yes, because Frank Grillo turns out to be a bad guy. So, struggle. Fury kills Pierce.
Well, again, you're skipping over some good stuff from Natasha here. Like, I love the moment when she's going to release the files and Pierce is still trying to manipulate her by suggesting that she doesn't want her secrets out there. And he says, are you ready for the world to have all your secrets laid bare? And I love this moment. She gives him this withering look and just says, are you? It's great.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Let's see, this is really where it gets yada yada, because now we have this whole thing where the helicarrier is launched, and all three heroes have to go and try to replace the chips.
Hold on, there's some good stuff here. I like the charge of Captain America. He has stolen his costume from the Smithsonian.
Yes,
and
Stanley. By the way, that's Stanley's appearance.
Yes, and
I thought this was a good one, Jay.
It was. So he does like his one man charge through all the bad guys, which is very reminiscent of his time in the first Avenger movie. And we get some really good action with Sam and his wings showing off what he can do. I thought all that stuff was really fun.
Yep.
And then you have the more I watch this movie, the more I love this part where you have the cavalry coming to the rescue. All of the loyal S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are going to get in their helijets to join the fight. And then the Winter Soldier with his horror movie music just shows up and murders them all.
Yes.
And I can see it now. There are like some direct parallels to the way that Bucky just mows through the good guys. It's the exact same way Steve was mowing through the bad guys, except Captain America, when he does his little front kick, the guy just falls down. When Bucky does his front kick, he kicks the guy into an aircraft engine. So it's brutal, but very well done.
Oh yeah. I know we've talked about this before about like destruction, but thousands of people die in this movie.
Yes.
Now, not as many as would have died had the Hydra plan gone into effect. But anyway.
And I love the fact that like corporate politics are at play here, like Marvel corporate politics too. Because at the time you had the movie folks headed by Kevin Feige. But then you also had TV stuff. So they had like Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on DC. And the TV side of Marvel was headed by somebody completely different, who I think his name was Ike Perlmutter. And he and Kevin Feige hated each other. And it's really funny because they launched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. And by the second season in the movie universe, they're supposed to be like connected, right? They have Agent Coulson as the main connection between the two properties. So, but by season two, you have an entire show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then you have this movie, which destroys S.H.I.E.L.D.
And Kevin Feige killed Agent Coulson in the first Avengers movie. And then he wipes out S.H.I.E.L.D. in the second Avengers movie. Or, sorry, in Captain America and the Soldier.
Yeah, it's... Ah, I love it. It's so petty.
That's hilarious. So, I didn't realize that kind of politics. So, discontinuity by subterfuge.
Yeah, they were really trying hard in the first couple seasons of Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. to really integrate it with the movies. Like, I did not see this movie in the movie theater. I had pretty young kids, and I was not a movie-going guy at the time. But the whole scene with Nick Fury driving away from the ambush and encountering the Winter Soldier, they played that at the end of one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was contemporaneous with this movie.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. And they had to figure out a way to deal with the ramifications of Hydra infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. just not existing anymore.
How did they attempt to do that?
Yeah.
And did it work?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, Bill Paxton played a pretty big role at this time in the series.
Okay.
I'll just leave that there.
All right. So it didn't have, like, fate was not on its side either.
No. Okay.
Yeah, so then we have, I'm going to yada yada stuff. Winter Soldier destroys the suit, and so for the Falcon, and let's see.
Flip his wings.
Yes. And it ends up, but Rogers against Barnes at the end. I missed the scene where they reprogrammed or they gave Bucky the shock or whatever, because Bucky started to have memories. And
you didn't even mention poor Renata.
Who's Renata?
The housekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Paxton, she was the almost fourth wife on Big Love.
So, okay, so here, tangent here. I'm listening to a podcast, I think it's called The King Cast, about Stephen King books and movies. And I listened to an episode where Alex Winter is interviewed about the Dead Zone.
Oh.
And so he reread the book and watched the movie in preparation for the podcast, as all the other two guys did too, the two hosts did. And one thing that because I read the book way back when I was literally a teenager, but I've seen the movie relatively recently. And what I had forgotten was, and Jason, are you familiar with the movie The Dead Zone?
Yes.
Okay.
Christopher Walken, right?
Yeah. The Martin Sheen character, like Stinson, I think is his last name, who is a pivotal character in the whole thing. Like, the whole thing like ends up, the whole ending of the movie is based on him and how Christopher Walken sort of takes him down. But in the movie, he doesn't show up until half of the movie is over. But in the book, he's there at the very beginning. And to establish the fact that that he is a bad guy, I think he like kicks a dog to death or something like early on in the story. And this is Stephen King letting you know he's a bad guy. Renato was the way that we pretty much established that Robert Redford was the bad guy. Like,
yes. Yeah. While he's doing like the most American thing you can, getting a glass of milk in the middle of the night.
Exactly. Yes. Plus, I mean, he's getting a glass of milk and Sebastian Bach shows up at his
I was going to say the fact that he was plotting with the Winter Soldier didn't clue you in that he was bad, but he had to murder somebody on top just to gin it up.
Yeah, but
see, you didn't know he was plotting with him at first, because he's always got that Robert Redford cool going on. You don't know if he's being cool at first. I mean, it takes a little bit.
Maybe he's crapping himself internally because this assassin's in his house.
But they have a big discussion.
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't say point, I thought he was a good guy. But again, Sam Jackson, right? I mean, he's not entirely pure, so you're not sure about the purity of anybody else in this movie. I don't know. I wasn't taking that deeply. Why are you bothering me with this stuff? Get off my back, man. Anyway.
Sorry. I forgot that this wasn't a discussion.
Of course you're right. like that's the whole point of me going off, is that, yeah, you totally were right. Anyway, okay, so he kills Renata, yeah.
Please do go on.
Yeah, so we have this whole, like, Winter Soldier Captain America fight. And it goes on for a little long, I think, but I thought it was good.
I love all of the Captain America Winter Soldier's fight. All the shield catching, knife flipping, gunplay, close combat. I love it all.
Yeah, and actually the final fight happens after they get all of a lot of it happens after the whole they replaced one chip in each of the helicarriers, and so instead of targeting 7 million other people, they target each other.
They cut the red wire just in time.
Yes, of course. And yet, they are still like in mid-fight at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so ends up, yada yada, Captain America falls into the water, and Bucky rescues him.
He finally gets through by telling him he's with him till the end of the line.
He stops fighting him. Like, I will not fight you.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the Rocky approach to the whole thing. I'll just let you beat me up. Yeah, anyway. Different motivation.
Very, very, very sad. Very emotionally devastating scene. If your eyes didn't at least water up, you're heartless.
Yeah, I guess I'm heartless. Sorry. See, okay, this is really going to court controversy here, but Captain America isn't super likable. Like, I get that he's an anachronism and True Blue and all that, but there's just enough stick up his ass not to really, like, I don't get the emotional connection between Captain America and Bucky.
I would agree with you based on the comic books. And I mentioned before, one thing that really surprised me about the movies is how much of an important character they made Captain America. I mean, he matters. He really is the heart and soul. You know, like Iron Man is sort of the propellant and the spine. You know, he's the bones and the framework that all of the MCU is built on. But Captain America really is the heart and soul all the way through Endgame.
Well, okay. You had mentioned before that after you saw Endgame, you went immediately to go watch some movies.
Yes.
Okay. Was this one of the movies that it made you watch?
No.
All right. Asked and answered.
But I watched it anyway because it's amazing.
Okay. All right. So I shouldn't give up hope that eventually Captain America will become much more important to me. And there's still like 16 movies left, right? I mean, there's a lot of movies. So it's funny because, like I said, this is the end of my prior knowledge for the most part, I think. And I was sort of excited at the mid-credit sequence because I had to go look up who those people were. But okay, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Is this the Nazi scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought one of them was Ryan Stiles.
The other, Colin Muckery. But yeah, so the Winter Soldier rescues the
You're talking about state. You had to look up who the brother and sister were, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's who you're talking about?
Yes, and we're going to get there.
Oh, I still don't even know who they are.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'm spilling the beans here. Because this comes colliding with something that my daughter has been spoiling for me, even though I told her not to. Because I'm trying to teach her not to spoil things for everybody, but you know, she's at that age where she really
been
wants
watching
to
WandaVision.
She is, yeah. Anyway,
with like no context.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that must have been amazing.
There's lots of people that are watching it with no context. So
yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either, but you told me about it.
So. I have a ton of online friends that are just all a Twitter about it.
Yeah. So anyway, so to finish up this film, Winter Soldier rescues the unconscious Steve Rogers before disappearing into the woods. And then with S.H.I.E.L.D. in disarray, Romanoff appears before a Senate subcommittee while Fury, under the cover of his apparent death, heads
very
to...
Very sassy, by the way.
Yeah, and it's funny that she's the remaining face of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, she doesn't seem like she'd be the candidate to be the face of S.H.I.E.L.D. But
I know. Where's Agent 13?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did Agent 13 die?
Where's Agent Hill?
Yeah, exactly. Did she die?
Working in HR for Stark Industries.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Romanoff's before the Senate subcommittee. Fury is dead officially, but he's not dead, of course. He's going to go to Eastern Europe to pursue Hydra's remaining cells. And Rogers and Wilson decided to find the Winter Soldier. While Rumlau, who is a Hydra agent, is hospitalized, followed the Triskelion's destruction. Dun-dun! Credits. And then the mid-credit scene...
You skipped over the part where Sam is by Steve's bedside playing Trouble Man when...
Yes.
When Steve wakes up and says, on your left.
Yeah.
This is important.
Okay. All right. It was also a great callback. I mean, it's perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. Jason, are you writing down on your left?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So in the mid-credit scene, we have Baron Wolfgang von Strucker, played by Thomas Kretschmann from 2005's King Kong. He is discussing recent events with a fellow Hydra agent in an underground lab somewhere in Europe. Even though some of their agents have been lost, they have many other followers around the world, and they're performing an experiment with secret weapons, including Loki's scepter. Von Strucker guides the agent to the twins, who are Pietro and Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, the titular Kick-Ass, and also in Tenet and 2014's Godzilla, and Elizabeth Olsen, who is in 2014's Godzilla and Red Lights.
Yeah, their husband and wife in Godzilla, and their brother and sister in this movie.
Yes. And, one of them is Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had to ask Journey, I'm like, is the Scarlet Witch a bad guy? And she's like, it's complicated.
Oh, she's so grown up.
So they exhibit superpowers of their own, observing them, von Strucker comments, "This is the age of miracles."
Yeah. By the way, more corporate shenanigans. Uh-huh. At the time, Marvel Studios did not own all of their characters, and they still don't own all of them. But they didn't own any of the X-Men or the characters from the X-Men universe, including Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, who are mutants in the comic books. There are no mutants in the MCU because those were rights held by Fox.
Wild.
So there were actually two versions of Quicksilver in the movies at the time. There was an X-Men version, and then there was this guy. It's also one of the reasons they're never called Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Ah, okay. Sorry. Carry on. Just going to send you one message. So, Brother Jay, any notes?
Did you already discuss the final end credit scene? Oh,
the final end credit scene is just Bucky walking through the Captain America exhibit. And he...
wearing the same disguise.
Oh, well, of course. It's terrorist disguise number one on your character creator screen. I thought I took a photo of this. There was a meme online that I thought I took a screen cap of that had this guy holding up his Infinity Gauntlet, but it was halfway full of McDonald's McNugget dipping sauces, and he called the Infinity Saucelet.
Very nice.
Yeah, it wasn't really worth describing, but oh well. Beep! So yeah, so Bucky walks through the Captain America exhibit at the Smithsonian in the same disguise as Steve Rogers from earlier. And no, it's okay. Anyway, he stares at it pensively, is what it says in the plot synopsis.
And Captain America will return in Avengers 2 Age of Ultron.
Yes, which is how many movies down the road? This is...
One.
It's the next movie?
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, I believe, in between this, but we already
did that one. So this is actually the second to last movie in Phase 2.
Yeah, Avengers is, I believe.
Is the second to last?
Pretty sure.
Because we're coming up on stuff like, again, stuff I haven't seen, like Ant-Man and that kind of thing.
Yep, I think Ant-Man is the last movie in Phase 2.
Okay.
Now you're just making stuff up.
Well, that's the thing, is like now, because now we went from like six movies to seven movies, and the next phase is like 13 movies or something, right? It's a lot of movies.
Maybe eight.
Let's find out. I don't know why I'm doubting you. Actually, Brother Jay, are you on it?
No.
Oh, okay.
What would you like me to be doing?
How many movies are in Phase 3 Marvel Cinematic Universe? By the way, spoilers for this movie. Something happens because there's a movie called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming out here pretty soon. So,
TV show.
Is it TV
show? Wikipedia says
TV show.
Wikipedia reports 11.
11. How many were in Phase 2?
Phase 2. Okay, here's the
six.
Link. God damn it. Why does that?
I mean, there's Iron Man 3, Thor Dark World, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
So six.
Okay. And then 11. And then, okay, and then so it's a TV series that's the Winter Soldier and Falcon? Did not know that.
Yes.
Wild.
Starts Thursday night.
So there were six in Phase 1, six in Phase 2. All right. And 11 in Phase 3.
Yeah.
We're more than halfway done.
We are. Living on a prayer.
No, are we, though? Because we haven't done Ant-Man.
Oh, you're right. We're not.
Yeah, we're not.
Well, wait, we have two more left.
We haven't done
this series, and then we have more to go.
Ant-Man is the midway point.
Okay. That's because they decided what Marvel Cinematic Universe needed was a big old injection of Paul Rudd.
Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I assume Michael Douglas was Star-Lord's dad. I still haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, excellent. So, Brother Jay, any more notes
on
The Winter Soldier?
Nope.
What do you give it as a grade? And by now, are we grading this on the Marvel Cinematic Universe curve or the scale of MCU movies? Or does this go out? I mean, were we ranking it against something like All the President's Men?
I'm trying to rank it as a singular entity because I think that's a fair.
Yeah. Either way works.
Because otherwise I carry all the baggage of the crap. So I'd rather not carry forward that baggage. So
okay, that's fair.
This is a B movie for me.
Cool.
It was all right. It wasn't awesome, amazing, but it wasn't terrible. It entertained me. There are some things that I didn't like, and I thought that it was way too long. It didn't need to have as much. It should have been two movies. They could have done more in two movies than they did cramming everything in one movie. So, but I realized it would have been much more difficult to integrate the story, though. Whatever.
Nothing in this movie like made me groan or offended me, which I thought was great. I was just captivated by the story. And I hope to be captivated by the rest of the movies because I haven't seen any of them. I think that'll work to my advantage.
It probably will. Yeah, but no, this movie is amazing. This is in my top 10 of all-time movies, maybe top 5. So I'd have to think about it some more.
Is this the best of the MCU movies?
No, but it's my favorite.
So your top 10 movies include two Marvel movies?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
There are only two things that I really did not enjoy about this movie. One, the condiments. That will bother me to my dying day. The second is I loved the Black Widow so much in this movie that after I saw it, I wanted to go get some Black Widow gear for my very young daughters.
Ah.
And guess what?
They don't make it.
It did not exist.
Ah.
Yeah. It was very, very frustrating. What are they doing? I wanted to give Marvel my money
exactly.
to buy advertisements for them. And I couldn't. The closest I could come was a pink Captain America shield shirt.
Which is ridiculous.
Which I begrudgingly bought. Yeah. Still bought it. But
No. I'm not saying it's not worth buying. I'm just saying it's ridiculous.
You bought under protest.
Yeah. I was looking into whether I could have my own maid. But
well, you could.
I didn't. Yeah, I could, but I wasn't going to go that far. I was so annoyed. They really missed an opportunity here.
Yeah. Wow.
I can buy it now that there's a Black Widow movie coming out. But
you wanted to beat the rush. Be original. Ahead of
I didn't even think I was being original. I thought for sure they have to have something at Target who, you know, brands everything.
Well, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. I think it was fun. I'm happy to know that the next one is the Avengers movie.
You know who the bad guy is in the next movie, right?
Ultron.
Yeah, but do you know who plays Ultron?
No idea.
James Spader.
Get out of town.
Nope.
Wild. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Well, I can't wait. Well, it'll be next on the calendar with all three of us.
Have we even done a James Spader movie yet?
I don't think so.
We've done Bad Influence.
No, I don't think so.
No. And actually, housekeeping? Do we have any housekeeping?
I have some.
Okay. Housekeeping.
Let's see. I've finished the first season of True Detective.
And what'd you think?
It was very Silence of the Lambsy.
Especially the very end.
Yes. Yeah, it's fine. I'll go into the second season. It was fine. It just there's some real tonal shifts back and forth in the episodes. It's very difficult. I can't get through an episode all in one sitting because it starts to really irritate me. So I've been splitting them in half.
The Matthew McConaughey character was so weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was supposed to be weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not unlike how he is in real life. So he's pretty goofy.
Probably elements of that. Yes, you're absolutely right.
So, yeah. Yeah, there's that. Speaking of you brought up. I can't remember why you brought it up. But at any rate, I finished a book, audiobook. This is the book is This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends.
Oh, what's
which is about cybercrime hackers and zero day exploits.
Oh, by Nicole Perloff?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's out on audio. I was I've been interested in that one.
It's on Audible.
Is it as terrifying as it sounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like dead hand kind of terrifying.
It makes me feel not secure about anything.
Okay.
Electronic.
Cool. Yeah.
It pretty much just doubled down all of my latent paranoia.
Perfect. Yeah.
So now I'm just like, well, fuck it. Like, doesn't matter. Like all of my hypervigilance pointless. Like I don't know why. Like I shouldn't bother.
I've actually been looking for that on Audible, and last time I looked, it wasn't there. So I'm off to check that out.
I'm positive that's where I.
I mean, came out a couple months ago. So if there's an audio version, it's got to be on there, right?
I think the book wasn't released until recently, but
yeah,
it was released February 9th. So yeah, it's on there now because I've got it. So. it's fascinating. I mean, I knew very tangentially about Zero Day exploits, but I didn't understand the overreaching concept and then the whole market of them, how there are commodities. So it's crazy, but it's going to make you a little paranoid, or I don't know. It made me a little it made me a lot more paranoid, I guess. I was paranoid to begin with. So, it's really good. But also, you know, yeah.
Yep. I just got it and I'm downloading it as we speak.
But, so yeah.
She's an interesting Twitter follow. I don't know if you've.
Mm-mm. I don't have Twitter, so. I mean, I think I have the Not in a Creepy Way Twitter, but I never remember it, so I'm never on it. I get eye rolled at constantly because I don't like have an Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. I don't have there's another one. I don't have a TikTok. I don't have I'm missing one. I don't know what it is. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I just don't like. I don't have the patience, the time, or the desire. Like, I'm officially old man state. Like, I don't, like, no, I'm good.
No, I get it. I don't even really have Facebook.
I have enough problems with the crap that I have. So,
I got something. Okay. This is kind of fun. My family and I signed up for the Shamrock Shuffle, which is a 5K race in Anchorage, but they also have a virtual version, so you can kind of sign up for it and do it on your own, on your own course. You just kind of track it with your phone. So we did that today. That was fun. I mean, we didn't race. We walked it.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a fun outing as a family. The first time we've done something like that. You know, it's, you know, 3 miles it's not a huge distance, but it's not a short distance for little kids.
No, that's a good hour and a half, right?
Yeah. It was 89 minutes is what we clocked in at.
That's good. Little legs. That's good for little legs.
Yeah. I mean, they made it through. So that was fun. Right now, currently, they are number one and number two in their age group.
Oh, that's cool.
Out of two. So.
Well, still.
But the actual race is being held in downtown Anchorage tomorrow. So, but that was fun. We, like, printed out our bibs and everything. And, I think we'll do something like that again. The only problem was we've had so much snow out here.
I saw
so much snow, and then it finally stopped. Well, it stopped snowing a couple of days ago, but then we had just had huge winds, and so we had just terrible snow drifts. And then today it was like calm. It was really sunny and beautiful, and then we woke up and we're like, hey, today's the day we're doing the 5K. And it got up and it was minus 13.
Oh.
It's like, well, God damn it.
Yeah, but, you know, at least if you bundle up if you're walking. That's the nice thing about Alaska not being humid.
Yeah. It was like 20 yesterday and perfect, except for how windy it was. But it was in the teens by the time we actually got out there. So,
no, that's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a lot of fun. And we walked around more of our neighborhood out here in Willow than we had before. So yeah, it was good. I recommend it.
And I hear that both you and the missus have had your first dose.
We did get our first dose. Yeah. A week and a half or so ago, they opened it. One of the agencies up here, the South Central Foundation, opened it up to everybody over 40. But just recently Alaska opened up everybody above 16. So that's great. I feel very, very fortunate to be in a state that seems to be having a pretty decent vaccine rollout. I know other states are struggling a bit more. So I'm feeling really fortunate. Yeah, the light is at the end of the tunnel for at least me and my wife to get vaccinated. April 2nd.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're feeling okay that day, Eric, because we're supposed to record.
Okay. Well, yeah, let me know.
I'll keep you posted.
Yep.
Yeah, and sorry, Jason has an announcement. But while I'm rolling, Eric, I did want to thank you again for doing the Julie and the Phantoms podcast. And I know it was extra work to just kind of dump on you an unexpected episode, but
no, it was fun.
Your nieces had a blast doing it, and they had been looking forward to it for so long. Sometime last year, actually, they wanted to do an episode on Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause when that hit Netflix, they cruised through that and they loved it, and they wanted to do a podcast episode. And I was like, all right. So I watched the whole thing, but three seasons worth.
Yeah.
But it took me so long to get to it. Like, by the time I was like, okay, I'm ready, let's do it, they're like, yeah, we moved on. We know.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
So this one rolled around. But it did, it gave me a real appreciation for how much work you put into these every week, more so than I thought about in a while. It reminded me, like, just like what an asshole I am, just like showing up with no prep work to talk to you guys.
No, it's
just
pure.
Showing up, do my thing. But yeah, for that one, since I was kind of driving it and I wanted it to be coherent, I did a lot of work, a lot of research. I put together an outline and really had to drive that conversation all the way up until pretty much the end when the girls really got rolling. But I had to have sort of a theme in mind of how to do it and talking points. And it was a lot of damn work.
You did well, though. It was excellent.
I appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, the sound was weird, but I was trying a thing. We were all in one mic. And Jason, you might appreciate this. I was I had us all huddled around one Yeti mic.
Yeah.
And I got a headphone splitter so we could at least all hear ourselves out of it. But so I was recording that, but I was also recording out of iTunes and playing music to talk about while we were talking. And I didn't get the levels really perfect on that, but
it's a hard thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Eric, thank you very much for how much you cleaned that up.
Oh yeah, no problem.
But yeah, I think that's about all I have.
Yep. I don't think I have anything actually. I think I'm good.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Well, it's a question. It's do either of you remember this?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There was the deviled ham version too. Yeah.
Yes. I have that downstairs as well.
No, so. I have both of those in my pantry right now, I'm sure.
Okay. So I feel better because there was a time about a year ago that at the old house, I don't remember what, for whatever reason, I just didn't want to cook. And I had the day. And so I pulled these out of the cupboard. And I'm like, you know what? These have been in there. And I was checked the expiration date. And I'm like, well, they've got a year. By the way, they last for like a decade. So
I can imagine.
I told Jesse, I'm like, well, there's about a year expiration date. And this was like a year ago. So, you know, let's do this and let's try it. And, you know, I haven't eaten one of these in a couple, 4, 5, 10 years. But I've always had one in the cupboard. Like everywhere I've lived, there's always been one. And I don't know if I've bought them or they've transitioned or like I never remember. But at any rate, so
that's your Manchurian Candidate programming from childhood. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you might want to, is this going to be included? You might want to say what we're talking about.
Well, I figured you'd put up a picture, but it's just the Underwood chicken spread that, yes. I think our mother will know is in the little tin can that is wrapped in paper.
Yeah. It's very much there's a chicken spread, there's the deviled ham.
Devil with
and
the trident.
It's funny because those two things are from my childhood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so occasionally I get a craving for something like that. And you'll tell me about your recent adventure. But they also have a roast beef variant that
do they?
That I will not try because it sounds so disgusting. But it can't be any more disgusting than the other two variants.
I have not had them since I was a child, but my memory is that they're like tuna fish, but other meats.
Oh, no, they're worse. Mm. Actually, the ham is a little bit more like tuna fish, but other meats. The chicken spread is actually like a chicken salad in a can.
It's okay. More that's like pate. So
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually like the chicken spread. The deviled ham, not so much. So
try it with some crushed black olives. Chopped black olives.
I don't like olives in things.
Okay.
I like olives. I don't like olives in things. I don't like olives on things except salad.
I don't even know why I'm trying to convince you because I would not recommend these to anyone.
No, the chicken spread's good. I like it. I finished an entire can of it over the last 2 days. So I'm going to look for the roast beef.
But you won't eat Spam, right?
Oh, no, I'll eat Spam, but very occasionally. Oh, okay. I like my Spam in a very specific, like, because I like ham. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I want to eat, I don't know. Spam is just like ham that has air blown into it. It's like a ham sponge. It's got that consistency. It's very, very soft. So I like Spam if it's cold. But I don't want my Spam like heated up.
I like it fried on, bread with Miracle Whip.
Nope.
Oh no, sorry. I'm cubed and fried over some white rice.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I give me just
right. See, we all go very three different ways.
Yeah. But again, it's also nostalgic. It's got a very special smell to it too.
Ugh. Yeah, it's like almost like
specific sound.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It reminds me of Play-Doh. So
yeah.
It's probably all the salt.
Well, Play-Doh is pretty salty.
Yeah. So anyway, so just my overriding point was like a call out and thank you to Mother, because without her, we undoubtedly would not have had the chicken spread and the deviled ham. So.
Okay, going into a more controversial topic. How do you feel about the Vienna sausage?
I like Vienna sausage.
No, man.
I like the Vienna sausage, but not the potted meat product that is the generic
exactly.
version.
Yeah. I want it formed into a sausage shape.
They have to be Vienna sausages. They can't be potted meat.
Nope.
Yeah.
Again, but like my wife loves, was it liverwurst?
Mm-mm.
I would not for a minute, not for a second, but it's no worse than chicken's bread.
But Vienna sausage is with like yellow mustard.
Exactly. Only yellow mustard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Again,
yellow mustard that's been stored on top of your fridge.
No.
They're not monsters.
No. In fact, again, I think cold benefits poor sausage. But I'm not super adventurous when it comes to things like that to me. I mean, that right there is it's a weird adventure because on the surface of it, there's no way I could totally see myself convinced like the roast beef version. No interest in trying.
Oh, I totally want to know. I got to go find it.
You'll have to let me know.
I didn't know existed. So
right in the same
I'm going to go to the website and like I got to go find it now. It's a mission.
Actually, I do. Well, I don't know if this is even worthy. We'll see if I even leave it in or not.
I have something better.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
It's not for the pod. It is.
Okay. Are we going to give mom and dad 50 cans each of devil's ham and chicken spread?
No, I'm not spending that kind of money.
No, dad gets water chestnuts. Are you kidding?
That's true. Yes. No, anyway, I had my first fail is a strong word, but I spent 44 hours, doing a corned beef sous vide to discover that corned beef is merely
So, yeah, I'm not a big corned beef fan.
So just to sit on it for 44 hours and that did not make me happy.
Yeah, I've never gotten the rage for corned beef. I think it's traditional, but I don't know that people like it. I think they associate it with traditional events, and that's why it's a liked thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to eat like a big slab of corned beef and cabbage, although in Ireland I did because it seemed traditional. But I can skip that all here.
I have two words for you that's also traditional that you made you ill. Wiener schnitzel.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I also made a London broil, like top chuck or whatever it's called. I don't know what the actual cut of meat is. Turns out meat have different cuts in other countries, too. They're called different things. Yeah. So people get really angry at the sous vide guides that only use American names for the cuts of meat. Anyway, but I think I cooked that for too long also. I put it in for like 24 hours or something. And it was too long. It was, you know, it was cooked. I cooked it at like 133. So it was like medium rare. Certainly wasn't too underdone. But it wasn't juicy because all of the
you rendered all the collagen out of it.
Yeah. So it was like fall apart like texture. But it was too much. It didn't have enough juiciness in there, and so
it was a little bit of a flavor at that point. Either.
Not much.
Yeah, you would have as much as I love sous vide talk, but I gotta go. My family's waiting on me for dinner, so okay. I'm gonna let you guys carry on and bow out. So good night. Thanks for the chat. It was fun.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast. We're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast. We're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother J, welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way.